our journey through the summer of studying Paul's letters and learning a little bit about Paul's faith and the theology that comes alive in these letters to this Corinth community. And now, brothers and sisters, I invite you to open your hearts and minds and spirits as together we read this passage. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we try to persuade others, but we ourselves are well known to God, and I hope that we are also well known to your consciences. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast in outward appearance and not in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, and therefore all have died. And he died for all so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making this appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You know what I've always thought to be an ironic saying? A clean slate. The English phrase we use to indicate a new beginning or starting over. But it seems to come with this nuance of a fresh, smooth start, almost like a blank canvas. But there is nothing smooth about slate. Slate is broken around the edges. It's rough and uneven. It's imperfect. But maybe, on second thought, that's actually even more appropriate. Because as anybody who has ever had to start over knows, it is not easy. And it's bound to be a little broken around the edges. It's bound to be a little rough and imperfect. And that is precisely what we find in Paul's letter this morning, in his letter to the Corinthians, in which he calls all of us to be a new creation. In this letter, Paul touches on what I believe to be one of the hardest, most complicated, painful, and uneasy parts of our call as Christians, and that is the call to reconciliation. But for Paul, this call is more than just a wise little nugget that he's tucked into this letter. It's more than just a sermon topic. For Paul, this call to reconciliation is extremely personal and very relevant to his current relationship with the Corinthians. As Tom mentioned last week in this introduction to the second letter, this letter comes sometime after that first letter to the Corinthians. And it comes sometime after what would have been some additional communication and correspondence between Paul and the Corinthian community. And between then and now, things have gotten a little messy. And
And there are some hard feelings among the Corinthians. There are some who are struggling to see Paul in this position of power. They don't think that he comes with the right amount of authority that they would expect for a man of his status. Others are frustrated with Paul because he has said that he will come and visit them, and yet he hasn't yet. And so now they're starting to doubt whether or not they can trust him at all. And it seems that there are some for whom Paul has offended. So the Corinthians are struggling to match Paul's reputation and status with their personal experience with him. And Paul is desperate to try to repair their relationship. Now, these feelings, doubts, frustrations, and conflict on behalf of the Corinthians are very human feelings. They're seeing Paul through a very human point of view. I think it's something we all can relate to. As anybody who's ever been in community or relationship or in relationship with each other knows, that conflict is bound to occur. Feelings get hurt. We betray. We judge. We break promises. We offend. But Paul is concerned that this tension in the community, these hard feelings that they have, are going to impact not only his personal relationship with them, but also their relationship and understanding of Christ. Because Paul sees himself, as well as all of us who are in Christ, as ambassadors of Christ, which means our words matter. How we live in relationship with each other matters because it reflects what we believe and understand about God. And one of the things we believe and trust in with God is God's ultimate reconciliation. And so Paul comes with this message to the community of reconciliation, a word that he uses 5 times in just this short little passage, and a word that has become a cornerstone of our understanding of what it means to be a people of faith. But what exactly is reconciliation? So often, we, especially in faith circles, use this word and can sometimes take it for granted. It's trivialized and even misused. In sermons and in liturgy and prayers, it gets lumped in with the same breath as forgiveness. Forgiveness and reconciliation, without ever really differentiating or explaining what they mean. And really, forgiveness is a little different from reconciliation. Forgiveness is a personal process of letting go. It is a healing when harm has been done. It's not condoning or forgiving or just moving on. It is the process of deciding that you are not going to let this burden weigh you down any longer. Whatever harm or hurt or betrayal or offense that you have experienced, you're not going to let it paralyze your life. So like chains, it's a personal release of ourselves. It's a personal release and letting go, and it's a very individual process. You can forgive somebody without ever really seeing them again or without keeping them in your life. We've seen this in a few examples of mass shootings around our country. In the Charleston shooting, family members came out and said that they forgave this killer. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to stay in relationship with him. It doesn't mean that they're going to go on and continue to seek him in any way. It just means they are not going to let this pain and this burden weigh them down. They are going to release themselves, and they hope and pray for him. Reconciliation, on the other hand, is the process of staying in relationship. It requires the participation of both parties in the process of confession, forgiveness, and the decision to remain faithful through working through the harm that was done. And one of the hardest parts of reconciliation, which really kind of comes through in this passage from Paul, is that there is some sort of recognition that you know you're not going to go back to the way things were. That relationship might not be as it used to be. In some ways, you're going to enter into this new creation, and you are committed to working through that hurt, that harm, and that pain, and taking on the new form or relationship that it's going to be. Now, as a quick aside, I think any time a pastor preaches a sermon on reconciliation and our call to stay in community and to stay in relationship, it has to be mentioned we are not talking about relationships of abuse, particularly abuse within marriages. What I am talking about in this sermon is about the offenses and the hurt and the pain that we all experience from being in relationship with each other. The Corinthian community was thousands of years ago, and yet we can see these very real human feelings of mistrust and betrayal, of not knowing exactly who and what you can believe. It comes from living together and being in community. But here we see this call that when that happens to us, we need to see it, to name it, to confess it, to allow that process of forgiveness to wash over us, and to decide that you're going to go through that hard work of figuring out how to stay in relationship with each other, to begin that process of repair, and to be that new creation that Paul calls us to be. For Paul, this larger sense of belonging comes with reconciliation. So that this decision to stay in relationship with each other is more than just sort of our personal feelings. There's something at work that's calling us to stay together, that's calling us to try to work through. There's a reason that we want to try to continue to be a community. And for Paul, of course, that is God's creation and reconciliation of us. That it is God who creates and claims us. It is God who has gathered us together as a community of faith. It is God who gives us a clean slate over and over and over again. And so therefore, so too, we ought to give that same type of love and reconciliation to one another. And it's not just Paul's arrogance or his own selfish motivations that is concerned that their feelings of him will impact their relationship with God. Because Paul sees all of us as ambassadors of Christ. That when we say and that we believe one thing and then kind of turn around and do something else, there seems to be mismessages, and that can be very harmful to a community of faith. Do we all know somebody who have left the church or given up on their faith because they see, hear Christians saying one thing and they see them doing something different? Paul sees that there is so much at stake here, that if we believe and trust in this faith of God, this reconciliation, this work of unconditional claim and love, then we need to be able to show that same type of care to one another. Paul says, in Christ there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. In other words, we are all given a clean slate. I wonder if you have ever had to experience something such as this. If you've ever had to go about that hard work of trying to form a new relationship, of working through the pain that has occurred, of allowing that process of forgiveness and reconciliation to take over. I know that this is a congregation that knows a little something about broken and rigid new beginnings and living into a new creation. At one point in our history, it took some courage and commitment to remain faithful to staying in relationship even when things got a little divided, broken, and messy. It's a community that had to learn what it means to be new and created even when it's a little broken and edgy. But what I hope this church truly sees is that with that being a part of who we are, with that being a part of our history, we are actually embodying the love and reconciliation and grace that we believe that God has for us. It is God who gathers us together as a community of faith. It is God who shows us a clean slate over and over and over again. This is a special and rare church that has lived into the call of living as Christ through unconditional, unwavering love of one another and community. Each and every one of us are called into reconciliation just as God has shown us. And we know that this work is not easy. Much like actual slates, as you enter into new creation, it's not going to be perfect, and it's not going to be smooth. There might be moments where you feel a little broken, rigid, and chipped. But living into that brokenness for the sake of unity is perhaps one of the most Christ-like things we can do. I'm going to say that just one more time. Living into brokenness for the sake of unity is perhaps one of the most Christ-like things we can do. And of course, as we know, the term clean slate really comes from those chalkboards made of slate, where you can erase it and do it again, erase it and create new, erase it and create new. And so too, our new beginnings happen again and again and again. But it is that persistence of faith, of God remaining with us through all of it, that calls us as one community in Christ. And so again, I wonder, for where are you being called to be a clean slate? Where are you being called to be a new creation? And how can we be ambassadors of Christ that lives and proclaims the message of reconciliation? May it be so for each of us. Amen. Amen.